Shavuot Tov and Erev Rosh Chodesh Tov, as we begin not only a new sefer as of last week, but also I just want to thank Yeshiva University for hosting this wonderful opportunity to really lead us together into not only the sefer, but really the seeds of Geula. And the question is, how do we plant the seeds of Geula? And I use that terminology not only Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat, but certainly during this entire time period, wherein the winter months basically ask upon us, how are we going to bring this time period of Geula, beginning with Adar, continuing through Pesach? So we know that if we look back at the beginning of Sefer Shmot, albeit it begins with the Shiabud, the oppression of Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Chazal called the Sefer, Sefer HaGeula. And the Ramban points out that it's actually Sefer HaGalut VeHaGeula. First, we have to learn the messages of Galut in order to appreciate how to catalyze the process of redemption. So in fact, when we look at the first two prakim, which are really the only chapters that speak about the Shiabud, the slavery in Mitzrayim, we see not only the hardships of Am Yisrael, but already the heroes, or I should say even more accurately, the heroines, that are going to be the ones to initiate the process of redemption. If we turn back, as you see on your sheets, to Shmot Perek Aleph, Vayakam Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yada et Yosef, Vayomer elamo hine am b'nei Yisrael rav va'atsumimenu. Right after we hear about the synopsis, really, of Sefer Bereishit, hearing about the Shivim Nefesh, the Bayit of Yaakov that came down to Mitzrayim, but then Vayamat Yosef v'kol achav v'kol hador habu. We end with that time, we end with really the stories of the Avot and the Imahot, and for that matter, the entire generation of Yosef and Mitzrayim. And now there's a new king in Egypt who recognizes that we're no longer speaking just about individuals, but rather, Hine am b'nei Yisrael ravatsu mimenu. They're the first ones to recognize that we have already transformed and developed into a nation. Haba netchak malo pen yirbe, v'ya ki tzekre'enan l'chama v'nosaf gam hu al sonenu, v'nelcham banu v'ala min ha'aretz. And the king is afraid that as he just took over from the previous dynasty, that perhaps there are going to be new enemies invading, and the Hebrews are going to join with them. So what are going to be the two stages through which hopes to thwart the continued demographic growth of these Am B'nai Yisrael? Stage number one. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayasimo Alav Sarim Nisim Laman Anato V'Sivlotam. First, he's going to organize for officers of the labor tax. He's going to place particular covert officers who are going to oppress individuals, Vayivei Narim Muskenot, Et Pitom Bet Ramses, those who are going to build these treasure houses or fortified cities for Paro, the Chasher Yanu Oto Chen Yirbe V'Chen Yifrot. And note that despite Paro's efforts, he begins in a covert method of attempting to oppress these people, and the Torah doesn't explain how or why, but simply, he was unsuccessful. Ken Yirbe V'Chen Yifrot. Chazal beautifully tell us, Paro said, Pen Yirbe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered behind the scenes, Ken Yirbe. They are going to continue. Vayakutsu Mipnei B'nei Yisrael. And perhaps because of this growth, despite the oppression, they become even more despised in the eyes of the Egyptians. And therefore, the new national decree, no longer on a covert level, but now overtly, Vayavidu Mitzrayim et B'nei Yisrael B'farech. No longer just Sarim, now all of Mitzrayim is going to oppress all, as opposed to particular individuals. They're all going to be working. And now let's take a look at Pasuk Yudalit to see the extent and the comprehensive nature of this labor. Vayemaru et chayehem ba'avodah kasha, b'chomer uvelevayimim uvechol avodah basadeh, et kol avodatam asher avdu ba'em b'farech. No less than four times in one Pasuk, the terminology of avodah. They're going to be oppressed through every form of hard work and labor. But if we look, even just for a moment, at the graph, we find that although Paro is going to attempt first through individuals to oppress the people, He's unsuccessful. We don't really know why. And that's why he's going to institutionalize and nationalize a decree that everyone, every Egyptian, has the right and really the responsibility almost to oppress and to enslave the people of Israel. But that's not enough. Either concurrently or subsequently, Pasuk Tetvav, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamialdot Ha'ivriot. These are going to be the only two laws that we hear of as an introduction to the terrible state of Am Yisrael. Paro then tells the Mialdot Ha'ivriot, and we're familiar with the exegetical debate with regard to whether or not these are Egyptian midwives, or whether in fact these are Hebrew midwives, Asher Shem Ha'achat Shifra, V'Shem Hasheni Tpu'ah. And this time, we actually hear the names of the individuals. Vayomer Bialatchen Et Ha'ivriot Eritan Alo Ovnayim Im Benhu V'Amitan Oto V'Imbati V'Chaya. He already identifies his plan. If it's a male, apparently someone who may join the army and encourage military force, then make sure to kill that ben, the imbati. But it's not enough that he says, kill the male children. He instructs them, if it's a bat, the chaya, keep the girls alive. The Midrash Tanhuma explains that he has an ulterior motive, keeping in mind the stories of Abraham and Sarai in Mitzrayim. He knows that the daughters of Israel are beautiful. He particularly wants them to be able to assimilate within Am Yisrael. But let's take a look and see the reaction of these Mialdot. Instead of Uri'itan Olhovnayim, instead of seeing what is worn on the birthing stone, and if it's a son, kill him, they use the same shoresh, so to speak, the same philological root, but instead of resh aleph hey, instead of seeing and responding with killing or murdering these young children, the Torah tells us, vatir enna hamialdot, yud resh aleph. They respond with fear. Veloasu kasher diber aleh melech Mitzrayim, vatachayena et hayeladim. Not only do they not kill the children, but rather they go out of their way to keep them alive. Vayikar melech Mitzrayim lamialdot, vayomer lahen, maduen asiten hadavar hazeh vatachayena et hayeladim. What did you do? Keeping the children alive. Atomarna hamialdot el paro, ki lo ken hashim hamitzriot ha'ivriot. Remember how you told us that if they're girls, in bati v'chaya, well, these Hebrew women, ki chayotima. You don't know how chaya, or how chayot, you don't know how alive they are. They're so alive that despite this decree, b'terem tavo aleihem hamiyaledet v'yaladim, they are insistent on giving birth to their children, so that even before we come to them, they already have the children in their arms. So note that the Torah here tells us exactly why this covert plan of Paro's was thwarted. As opposed to the first stage, where we don't have an actual explanation, here the Torah tells us it was because of the Yirat Elokim, the ethical backbone, the moral strides that the Mialdot took to ensure that these children would not be killed. And therefore, let's see the result. It's not simply, as we heard the first time, Ken Yireh V'Chen Yirut, but rather, Vayitav Elokim LaMialdot Vayirav Ha'am Vayatzmu Ma'od. Yes, they're able to multiply, but Hashem also did something for the Mialdot. What is that? Vayikiyaru HaMialdot Et Elokim Vayas Lahem Batim. And albeit some of the Parshanim explain that these are actually Batei Kela, that Paro incarcerated them after they did not obey his decree, most of the Parshanim explain this is the further explanation of Vayitav Elokim Et HaMialdot. What is the good that God bestowed upon the Mialdot? Vayas lahem batim. He provided them with batim. Rashi explains, and we'll see why, batei kuhuna, batei levia, batei melucha, with the houses of a kingship and priesthood. But one can argue, as we find Midrashim explain, vayas lahem batim. Who are these Mialdot? Who are those that can answer calls of midwifery and at the wee hours of the night and morning? These are women who don't have their own homes. And what is the reward that God gives them for providing homes and for enabling the Hebrew women to perpetuate their families? Bayas lahem batim. He provides them with homes. And that we're going to see is really the secret of the success of Am Yisrael. They don't forget the value of the home. It's these mealtot to allow not only for the boys to stay alive, but they understand that we need the banot and the banim in order to establish the bayit. And that's why Haro, recognizing the failure of stage 2 of the labor laws as well, he will nationalize the decree once more, no longer through the covert officers of midwifery, but now, Kol Amo, he announces to his entire nation, Kol HaBen HaYelod HaYaorat HaShlichu B'Chol HaBat HaYun. Every son that is born will be killed, but again, you can keep the girls alive. Little does he know then the power of these banot. Not only do they represent, as we've already seen through his words and through the words of the mealdot, they represent chayut, they represent vitality, but they represent much more than that. Chazal explained, looking at these two wonderful stars, looking at these mealdot, hearing their names, Chazal already explained, first in the name of Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabba, B'schut nashim tzidkaniyot shayu b'oto hador nigalu mimitzrayim. Look at these women. It is in their merit that Am Yisrael were saved from Mitzrayim. And perhaps this is the basis for the famous Midrash conserving the personality of the Mealdot. Who were Shifra and Puah? None other, explained Chazal, quoted by Rashi, then Yocheved and Miriam. Or perhaps, as we're going to find, maybe even Yocheved and her daughter-in-law. Then perhaps then, Yocheved and Elisheva, Bata Minadav. Whatever the case may be, Chazal say they're so similar. They have the same personality. We're going to see in the second chapter how women, once again, and particularly without names, they are called Banot. How a Bat and another Bat are actually going to ensure the survival, not only of the Banim in general, but of a particular Ben, whom we just heard about yesterday, and Parshat Va'era is going to be the Ben that will be responsible for saving Am Yisrael. Here Chazal are already sensitizing us to pay attention to who plants the seeds of redemption, recognizing that it's the Mealdot who take care of the Bayit. And now, as we turn to Perek Bet, let's see once more how the Torah is going to share with us the story of the salvation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayelech ish mibeit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. Source number 6. We're no longer in Sefer Bereshit, where we hear the particular names, where we hear about avot, the patriarchs or the matriarchs, the heads of the family. Now, the Torah tells us it's essential that we focus on the bayit. We cannot continue the story speaking about the development of the nation until we hear about the salvation of the home, the salvation of the bayit. So we hear of an ish mibeit Levi, notice not even yet shevet Levi, the house of Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. And we know that only 5 chapters later we're going to hear exactly what their names are. We're going to hear that this ish, his name is Amram. And who is this bat? She is none other than Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet the Torah tells us, not time yet to disclose this information. What you need to know is that we have someone coming from a bayit who is going to ensure that that bayit continues through a bat. So much so, the Chazal explained that it was actually, as we take a look in source number 11, Vayelech ish mibeit Levi lehechan halach. That's a very strange terminology. Where did this man go? Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvina, shahalach ba'atzat bito. And notice once again, the Midrash doesn't even tell us who this bat is. We're not going to hear her name either until the 7th chapter of Shmot. And the Midrash, knowing already that this is Miriam, chooses instead to call her a bat. He followed the advice of her bat, of his bat. And we're going to see consistently that these terms are going to appear together. The source of the bayit, the strength of the bayit, the initiative of the bayit will come from the bat. And I've heard in the name of Rav Meir Goldwich that the term of Evan comes to connect the Av and the Ben. And I would argue then that the term of bayit doesn't come from, obviously, ben and the stronghold of an even and the relationship between a father and a son, but rather the secret of survival of a bayit is in fact a bat. And the irony here is that it's the mother who's called the bat, even though her bat is also in the story. But if she is already the bat, then who's her daughter? Her daughter will be called the achot. But again, in source number 11, in the Midrash quotes her as the bat. Amram gadol hador haya, kivan shara'a sha'amar, shagazar paro harasha kol haben hayulot hayorot hashlichu v'chol habat hachayun. As soon as the father heard, oh no, the decrees of Paro, he's thwarting the growth, why should we even have children that then are going to be killed? Lishav anu amelin, why do we even conceive children? Amad v'gereshit ishto. So he went to basically and detach himself from his wife, divorce himself, thereby leading to the breakdown of the bayit. And once he divorced himself, because he was the leader of the generation, Amdu kulam v'gershu et nishotehen. Amra lo bito. It's his daughter that stands up and says, Abba, kasheh gzeiratcha yoter mishel paro. Your decrees are worse than those of paro, sheparo lo gazar ela ala sfarim, vata gazarta al hasfarim, v'ala nekevot. Only the bat understands the secret of survival of the bayit. Wait a second. Paro understood kol habat hechayun, but you're denying and depriving life even to the young daughters. And secondly, she says, Paro lo gazar ela b'olam hazeh, v'ata b'olam hazeh ul'olam haba. Paro is just killing the children in this world, but you're denying them an opportunity for olam hazeh and olam haba, Paro harasha. And lastly, Paro is so evil. Safek mitkayemet gezeirato, safek eno mitkayemet. We don't know whether or not all the children are really going to be killed. There's safek. There is a chance of survival that the bat understands, and somehow the ish, mibet levi, doesn't understand. And only when she points out, the bat who points out that the banot are part of the bayit, and we need children for olam haba as well. And wait a second, there is a safek, there is a doubt, there is a chance that some of us really may survive. Only then does Amram listen to his bat. Amad v'achzirat ishto, amdu kulan v'achzirat nishotehen. And that's why v'yelech ish mibet levi v'yitach. He took his wife again, understanding the power of the bat. And I always wonder to myself, why does the Midrash say that it was the daughter? Why couldn't Yocheved have turned to Amram and said, don't you understand that you're worse than Paro, and Paro is only denying or killing the boys, and you're killing the boys and the girls? But that's exactly the point. The mother is called the bat as well. It's the power of the bat in the story who understands what continuity of a bayit is. It is the power of a daughter who understands what it means to continue the legacy of a mother who herself sees herself as a daughter, sees herself in a line of continuity, sees herself as responsible for perpetuating the legacies of the past. A bat is the bayit because it automatically continues us and connects us to the past and continues for the future. So let's see what happens in the story. Back to source number 6. Batara isha batelet ben. Batera oto, the exact same verb that we found employed in the story of the Mialdot. Batzitzvineu shlosha yirachim v'lo yachla od hatzvino. After she can no longer hide him for 3 months. Batzikach lo tevat gome batachmara bachemra bazevet batasam ba'et hayelet. We notice the rikus palim, the concentration of verbs. She's the very active one. We don't know what the ish is doing because the spotlight is on this bat. The bat who will take care of her yilid. And against all odds, is convinced that maybe something will happen to this child that she places in a teva upon the Nile. And such a strange pasuk. So her daughter, who in this story has to be called the achot, because the mother herself is the daughter, the sister is going to observe from afar Lidia Maya Aselo to see what will happen to him, as if she doesn't know, as if she's not anticipating that some Egyptian schoolboys are going to go past and see various little tevot of mothers who place their children there hoping that they'll survive. And I'm sure these little Egyptian schoolboys are probably going to have a drowning contest to kill as many as possible. What does it mean, Lidia Maya Aselo? But once again, the Midrash points out, because she has a conviction, perhaps even a prophecy, that the bat in her, that spirit of continuity, is going to in fact build a bayit. And sure enough, Vatered Bat Paro. On one hand, we're thinking, uh-oh, the worst person, okay, perhaps the second to worst person, to appear on the scene right now is the daughter of the king, who is the one to decree that these children must be killed. Of course this daughter is going to listen to her father, but already now we have a sense, but she's called a bat. We don't even know her name either. She's a bat. And even if she's the bat of Paro, of notorious Pharaoh, the king who decreed the murder of these children, she nonetheless has the sensitivity and the drive and the trajectory to continue a bayit. And therefore, when she sees the yelid, the same word, vatira et hateva, and again, vatirehu et hayelid, we, the readers, already have a sense, because so far, every woman who has seen has responded with an active salvation. Whether it was the Mieldot, whether it was the Bat of Levi, or whether it's now Bat Paro. And sure enough, as soon as the other Bat in the story, the Achot, sees that the Bat has mercy on this Hebrew child, she's going to interject as well. Vatomar Achoto al Bat Paro, heilech dekarati lach isha mineket min ha'ibriyot, vatanat lach et hayeled. Should I call then a Hebrew nursemaid, the mother of the child, and Bat Paro, who understands what it means to be a bat, and thereby understands what it means to be a mother, says yes, and not only that, but I'll pay her for it. Vayigdal hayeled, vatidiehu lebat paro. The yeled is going to be brought from one bat to the next bat. And we already know the child is going to survive because he's in the hands of a bat who will build that bayit. Vayigdal leben vatikra shemo Moshe. She is the one who is given the right to call him. To call him Moshe. In Egyptian, to call him that child. To call him the child who was brought forth from the water. And notice then that there's a beautiful chiasm within these very few psukim. The story that starts with the bat of Levi, whom we don't think is ever going to see her child again. But then the achot, who brings the bat Paro into the story, and through the achot then to have bat Levi brought back that she can nurse her own child. Let's take a look and appreciate then who this bat is. So as we already mentioned, Chazal will conserve her personality with the Mieldot, but let's find out more, as we just heard yesterday in Parshat Va'era, that who is this bat of Levi? Source number 7, Paragraph Pasukha, Vayikach Amram. Oh, he was the Ish mi Beit Levi, and he takes Yocheved Dodato, his aunt Yocheved, Lo Lisha, Vatilad Lo et Aharon et Moshe, Vishne Chaye Amram Shaba Ushloshim Omeat Shana. And then we hear then about his life, basically. But this isn't the end of Yocheved. We're going to hear about her again in Bamidbar Perachabav, introducing Mishpachat Levi, generally only hearing of the male heirs to Yerusha. But we hear about Eshet Amram, who once again, this time is called Yocheved Bat Levi. That seems to be her title of honor. She is a bat. Asher Yalda Otal Levi B'Mitzrayim. And only in Sefer Bamidbar we hear another detail that isn't necessarily going to be important in Sefer Shmuel, but apparently is important in Sefer Bamidbar for you to know that who is she? She was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. And then she, together with Amram, had Aaron and Moshe and Miriam Achotam. Sure enough, Rashi points out, why do we need that strange detail? That she's not just a bat of Levi, but she was born to levi in Mitzrayim, leidata b'Mitzrayim ve'in horata b'Mitzrayim. Rashi points out the two different descriptions, the two adjectives really are going to be very similar. The fact that she's a bat, and then we hear the bat that was born to levi in Mitzrayim, tells us that she was born in Mitzrayim, but she wasn't conceived in Mitzrayim. Rather, כשנכנסו לתוך החומה ילדתה. Literally, she was born on the border of Egypt. And how does Rashi know this? Because looking back at the end of Sefer Bereishit, in Parshat Vayigash, Perek Mem Vav of Sefer Bereishit, we count all the names of those who came down to Mitzrayim, and we see that we're missing one, but actually Yocheved is the one who is going to complete the number 70. If you really count the ones who came down to Mitzrayim, there are only 69. But then we hear that there are 70 in the house of Yaakov in Mitzrayim. How could that be? Oh, now we understand. Yocheved was the one who was born literally as they entered through the visa gates of Mitzrayim, as they entered through the border of Mitzrayim. And why is this so significant? And what does this have to do with the fact that Yocheved is Bat Levi? Why do we need to know that she is the one who completes the 70? So just say 70, and then mention her as part of the 69, but no, she didn't go down to Mitzrayim. She was born on the border of Mitzrayim. Because that, in fact, is what a bat is. A bat is a transition character. She's not the mother who starts a cycle. She's the bat who continues her past, but has the potential to ensure that that continuity will perpetuate for the future. That's the secret of the bat. She is that sandwich generation. She's right between the mother. She's the daughter of the mother, but someone who has the potential, as we see through the stories of Shmot, to be the mother herself. And therefore, Chazal tell us beautifully, now we understand. We understand that it's significant that we see her as that transition character. She was conceived in Eretz Yisrael, but she wasn't really an ima then. She's the bat of Levi, who is born on the border of Mitzrayim. She stands literally straddling between the past and the future, the life in Eretz Yisrael and life in Mitzrayim. And not to worry, because what happens to Yocheved, she'll leave Mitzrayim as well. And not only that, but she who understands the need then to continue the legacy of the past, she is going to be one of the primary characters who is going to plant the seeds of redemption. And this is why Chazal conserve or preserve her personality. Let's take a look at the famous source number 10 in Masechet Sota. Vayomrach Mitzrayim l'Yaldot HaIbriyot. If they are in fact Hebrew midwives, then who are they? Rav and Shmuel are going to dispute either Isha Uvita or Kala v'Chamuta. Doesn't make such a difference, but it's either a mother-daughter team or a mother and daughter-in-law team. So it's either Yocheved and Miriam or Yocheved and Elisheva. Well, why say it's a mother-daughter team? Why isn't it, I don't know, two mother partners? Why mother-daughter? Because this is exactly what Chazal understands. Take a look at Perek Bet, and you see that there is a bat, and then her bat, the Achot, both of them are going to be responsible for the salvation of the son. And therefore, it's the same personality who will go out of their way to save every single Hebrew child. But it's even more than that. It's about two different personae who understand what it means, the imbati v'chaya, that a bat has that spirit of bringing life, that it's not enough that we see ourselves as mothers, but we see ourselves as continuing the legacy of our mothers. And therefore, Chazal continue and explain, Tanya, if you say Kamanda Amar Isha Uvita, then what does that mean? Shifra is Yocheved, and why is she called Shifra? Shemeshaperet etavlan. She's the mother who will take care of the child. Ana Shifra Sheparu v'Ravu Yisrael b'Yameha. She is that quintessential bat, who is also then the mother of her own bat, who understands what it means to ensure the growth of Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And therefore, it is not just she But together with the next generation, the idea of the bat is going to continue. But based on this, if we take a look at source number 12, it seems that calculating the years, if Yocheved was born on the border of Mitzrayim when they first came down to Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is 80 years old when they left Mitzrayim after 210 years of being in Mitzrayim, then how old is Yocheved when she gives birth to Moshe? 130 years old. Chazal asked this. Let's take a look at source number 12. You know, without all due respect to beauty techniques in those age, Epshar bat mea v'shloshim shana v'kara la bat. Chazal are bothered. We understand a bat, she's a daughter of Levi, but really, she's 130 years old. You're still going to call her a bat? And now you understand, of course the Torah is going to call her a bat. Because a bat, a daughter, is not a quantifying or a quality of age, but rather tells us about the nature of a person. Does she see herself as a daughter? As someone who is meant to serve as the basis and the stronghold and the one responsible for continuing a bayit? Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Hanina says, Zo Yocheved shorata baderech v'nolda v'nachomot. Yes, she is that bat. That same bat who understands what it means to be that sandwich generation coming from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. The same bat who understands what it means to be a daughter but also a mother. That's why she's described in Bamidbar as Asher Yaldao Tol Levi b'Mitzrayim, Leida Ta b'Mitzrayim, V'Rotah Shelo b'Mitzrayim. And therefore, Ami Karula Bat. Why is she called a bat? Am Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina. Melamed Shenoldu Ba Simanei Na'arut. To teach us that even when she was born, she was already an adolescent. She already had the biological capability of bearing children. Now this is interesting. And then what happened? And then she became, even at 130, Nolduba Simanei Na'arut, one can argue again, Nitadim HaBasar Nitpashtu HaKmatim V'Chazar HaYofi L'Komo. She was always the bat. She was always the one who understood what it means to bear children. Both when she's born, and then at 130 years old, again, she understands what it means to be a bat. So even at 130, she really can be a daughter who can then be transformed to a mother again. She can then have, without any Botox, she can have her entire skin return to that of a bat, and no more wrinkles, and the beauty returns, because that is the persona of what a bat is all about. Vayikach v'yachzar mibayleh, and sure enough, that's when Amram will take her again. And that's when Hoshiva ba'apiryon, Amram takes her and places her on the wedding, the canopy, va'aron u'miriam shorim lefaneha, with her two older children singing before her, and malachei sharet singing, Eim habanim smicha. You are the bat, and you are the ima. But in the Torah, you will always be the daughter. You will always be the basis and the stronghold of a home. And the Ramban asks on this question, if that's the case, that she gave birth to Moshe at 130 years old, then why didn't the Torah say it explicitly? After all, by Sarah, when we hear that Sarah gives birth at 90 years old, and we hear in Parak Yud Zayin, again, this is a tremendous nes. We hear the story of a Parak Chaf Aleph, miraculous as could be. And the Ramban first quotes Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, who says, Zetema imkein lama lahuzkira katufa pela shana se'ima sholida moshe v'hibad mea v'shloshim shana. Why doesn't it say that she was 130 years old? Whereas by Sarah, we found that the Torah went out of its way to tell us the miracle for giving birth at 90. And the Ramban explains it doesn't bother us at all. Omar lecha davar shehu emet uvarur batorah. Ki hanisim hanasim al yedei navi sheyitnaveh kein mitchila. O malach negle b'malachut Hashem yaskirim hakatuv. Only overt miracles that are foretold of by either an angel or a prophet, those are going to be the ones that we have to hear about. those are going to be the ones that verify and corroborate the word of Hashem. Hanasine alein lazor tzadik o lachmit rasha lo yaskiru batzora o benedim. But the ones that God does to enable or to assist without necessarily and having this clearly an active part of the story, he says those aren't going to be mentioned. Lo yaskirim hakatuv. It's not a miracle that God foretold. Rather, this was something that came on its own. What does the Ramban mean? Wasn't that God said, oh, there's going to be a miraculous birth of a child to a mother who's 130 years old, as we heard by Sarah. Rather, it was Yochevet's prerogative. It was her initiative. She's the one who said, I know I'm 130 years old, but I want to have another child. I want to show Paro what it means to build a bayit. I want to explain to him what the term that he employed of imbati v'chaya, what it means for a daughter of Israel to have vitality. Oh, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him that at 130, I'm still a bat. Those are the miracles, the Ramban explains, that the Torah doesn't need to tell us because they happen, basically, on their own, meaning they happen through the power of the characters involved. And these are Yisodot HaTorah v'nisim nistarim him. These are the hidden miracles. These are the miracles wherein God doesn't get involved in order to show or to catalyze the next step of Jewish history. These are the miracles that we allow to be performed. These are the miracles that God basically assists us in. As the Ramban concludes, "Mipnei sheratza ha'lokim legolat Yisrael al yedei ha'achim ha'ela v'lo higia ha'ketz." Yes, it's true. God wanted Moshe and Aaron to be the ones to serve as those that will precipitate the stages of redemption. And therefore, "Icher le'datam yamim rabim ad ki zekna imam." But he was waiting for the right time. So Yocheved had children when she was younger, and then continue when she was later. Hashem was just waiting for the right time, and the Ramban is alluding to the fact not just for the right time, but for the right person. Hashem was waiting for that bat who would understand what her powers as a daughter in fact are. Beautiful. Very nice. Which means that she had, right, meaning even at 127, and even, again, very young, 3 years earlier, and in Devei HaYomim we hear that maybe she even had other children, perhaps, but that's exactly it. Even at Aaron, she was still not just excited and willing, but now with the decrees, you would think that would be enough. Her husband, Amram, felt that that was enough. So you're right, it's a miracle at 127 as well, but an even greater miracle at 130. Exactly. And he took her again. And he took her again because of who? Because of the bat. Right? And that's the terminology that Chazal used consciously. Not just Miriam, but Miriam, the bat. And let's take a look now at source number 14. Rabbi Hanina says, wait a second, this reminds me of another story in Tanakh, where we're going to hear that there is another woman who, regardless of the terrible depression and the terrible circumstances that life has begotten her, namely that her husband and her children have died, and I'm referring to Naomi. Naomi, vatakom Naomi. Naomi gets up on her own, and she's determined to come back from Stei Moav, to come back to Beit Lechem. Naomi understands what it means to restore a bayit. And therefore, against all odds, she is going to try to rehabilitate whatever is left of the bayit of Beit Lechem that she had abandoned with her husband. And sure enough, after she is the one to encourage none other than Rut HaMoaviyah to go to Boaz and to build their bayit, they have a child, and the neighbors say, Yulad ben Naomi, v'chi Naomi yalda. Did Naomi really, was she the one to give birth to the son? Valo Rut yalda. It was Rut who gave birth. Ela Rut yalda v'Naomi kidla. It's okay, give Naomi the credit, because she raised the child. She's the one who really is given the credit for the bayit. Lefichach nikra al shma. And therefore, just like this Bat Levi, she built the bayit, so did Naomi. And therefore, in Tzvei HaYamim, you're going to hear about Ishto HaYudia, Yalda et Yered, and Avigdor. And who are these? On one hand, the Isha Yehudia. Who's the Isha Yehudia who gives birth to Avigdor, which according to Chazal is none other than Moshe Rabbeinu? Obviously it's Yocheved. But then the next pasuk says, Eile b'nei b'tzia bat paru, asher lakach lo mered. These are actually the children of Bitya. So make up your mind. Are they the children of the Yehudia? Or are they the children of Bitya? Bat Paro. And who's Mered? Oh, this is Kalev, and he's called Mered because he's the one who rebelled by Chaitam Raglim. But wait a second. Vachi Bitya Yelada? And Bitya also didn't give birth to Moshe. Vahalo Yocheved Yelda. Ella Yocheved Yelda uBitya Gidla. And notice, what do Chazal tell us? Why is her name Bitya Bat Paro? She was the bat of Paro, but she chose to see herself also as the bat of Yudke, the bat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bat of God. And no matter what, we need to have that term of bat preserved in her name, because that's what is going to enable her to save this child. And that's what will enable her to build a bayit. And that's what is going to forever identify her, not only as the bat, but also as the one who saved and allowed for the redemption of Am Yisrael. But if that's the case, then how do we understand the nature then of Bat and Bayit? It's clear that the Bat, the daughter, and not the mother, builds the Bayit. Someone who understands that a Bayit isn't static, but a Bayit must continue. Someone who understands that in order for Am Yisrael to be saved, first we have to recognize the power of the Bayit. Because they cannot leave as individuals, as they came down to Mitzrayim, and they're not yet ready to fully unify, certainly not as tribes, and therefore not as a nation. Rather, first they identify themselves as a bayit. Chazal tell us beautifully, when Paro established or decreed at the decree of the Mialdot HaIvriot, who were these two Mialdot who saved the day? Shifra zo Yocheved, Pu'a zo Miriam. Why Shifra? Again, the play on words, Shepara v'Rava. She's responsible for the growth, for the demographic growth of Am Yisrael. Or Shifra shemeshaperet et hablad. Just as we've said, the same personality as Yocheved. Shifra sheparu v'Ravu Yisrael b'yameha. And then how about Pu'a? Pu'a, shaita Pu'a u'bocha alachia. Because she would sigh over her younger brother in the next story. And what did happen? Well, Paro said, you must fulfill this decree when you see the Hebrew woman giving birth. Kill all the male children. But instead they feared God. And then what happened? Batim. Batim elu eni yodea mahi. What are these batim? Kshu omer mikseyes rushana asher bana shlomo et shnei habatim. Well, wait a second. We have another case where batim are built in Sefer Malachim. What are these? Shlomo will establish Beit Hashem. Zo kumuna. That Beit HaMelech zo malchut. Shlomo basically builds the Beit HaMikdash and he builds his own palace. And therefore Chazal will extrapolate and teach us what are the batim that were made? The batim of kingship and the batim of priesthood. It must be Zachta Yocheved Lekumuna. We know Yocheved is going to not just be the bat, but she builds a bayit. Not just her own personal home of survival, and not even giving birth to Moshe who will save the bayit of Am Yisrael, but she literally creates a bayit through Aaron, the bayit of Kumuna, through Moshe, the bayit of Leviyah, and through Miriam, the bayit of Malchut. After all, again, based on Psukim of Devei HaYamim, we see that Kalev from Shevet Yehuda marries her, thereby allowing for the establishment of Malchut. These are the batim. What Chazal are trying to teach us is that the bat is the one responsible for the perpetuation. This transition character who understands what it means to be a daughter understands that, wait a second, I continue a legacy that was invested in me by my mother, and every daughter then understands that part of her responsibility is to ensure that she will begin not only sons but daughters, that she will be the one to build a bayit, that she, through being a bat, will ensure that the bayit, in the conventional literal sense of the word, of the family is going to be established. But Chazal say, don't stop there. The bat creates the bayit. The bayit of melucha, the bayit of kuna, and the bayit of leviyah. And we see this then in other midrashei Chazal as well, that the power really of geula is in the hands of the miyaldot, who understood the nature of bati v'chaya, ena, shifra, pu'a, yocheved Miriam, the ima, the bat paro. They are going to be called banot in the story in order for us to appreciate this message. But we conclude with Chazal's continued usage of this term as we take a look at source number 16. Chochmot Nashim Banta Beita, referring to a pasuk in Mishlei, to the wise woman who built a bayit, Zo Yocheved. It must be that this is a reference to Yocheved, who built a bayit, literally. And why do you think Chazal say, and out of all the wise women who built homes, why are Chazal turning to Yocheved? Because it's clear, Yocheved's the bat, she built the bayit. This is Yocheved, Shemida Shlosha Tzadikim V'Shloshtan Na'asu Parnasim. And take a look at what she built. Not only Kuhuna, not only Melucha, not only Leviyah. She's the one provided for Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. And what did they provide for? Explain Chazal. Moshe provided the man, Aaron provided the ananim, Miriam provided the be'er. And we know that these are really symbolic. Symbolic of the same brachot that we found in the Ohel of Sarah Imenu. The idea of the man, the basic food, Gena, the challah. The idea of the ananim, the ananeh hakavod, the protection of the bayit. And certainly then, the be'er, the water, the essential staple of any home. Notice that the bat provided the bayit in every sense of the word. The perpetuation of family, the values of family, the kingship of the family, but also the basic necessities of survival in a family. The food, the water, the protection. And therefore, Shloshtan HaYinuviyim, and certainly they also provided for the spiritual aspects of the home. Notice the credit that is given to a bat who understands how to ensure the building of a bayit. But again, also in source number 17, a very strange terminology that Chazal are going to pay attention to. Chazal teach us, Shakomi She'im Ben Harehu Kemet. Rachel herself tells Yaakov, if you don't give me a child, havali banim ve'im ayin, if you don't, meta anochi. It's as if I'm dead. U'mechayat v'sha shenayim la'banim. And she becomes alive as soon as she has children. Similarly, we say in Halel, Tehillim kuf yud gimel, moshivi akeret habayit im habanim smecha. Hashem restores the barren woman of the bayit. Amara barachya. Who is this woman? So there's some midrashim that say this is Chana. She herself incorporates this term in her tefillah. And yet Rabbi Rachya says, no, this is Yocheved. Yocheved, who is the Akeret HaBayit, who became the mother in Habanim, Smecha. Wait a second. Why should we call Yocheved Akara? Why should Yocheved be called barren? After all, she had three children, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Rather, b'sha'a shegazar paro al haskharim kevan sheshama amram hu beitino gazru umanu et Yisrael mekriya v'rivya. Chazal tell us, remember that brief time in the Midrash in Sota that Amram divorced himself from his wife, saying, lama anu amelim, why should we have children who ultimately are going to be killed off? And it was the bat who told him, wait a second, how about the banot? How about the batim in olam hazen, olam haba? How about the possibility that maybe some of the banim really will survive? It wasn't just that bat, but she got that message from her mother. And her mother, even for that temporary time period, explained Chazal, lefichach korei yocheved akara, shene'ekra mibito. She's called an akara. She's called barren even for those few months or years wherein she couldn't bear children, wherein she couldn't establish her bayit, because even for a temporary amount of time, she couldn't really understand, or she couldn't fulfill what she understood as the significance of being a bayit. And therefore, Moshi v'akaret habayit, that's Yochaved, who was a kara, and then was restored to Im Habanim Smicha, who then could reestablish her home by bringing more children to this world. And the proof of all this is really within the Pshat itself. The stories of Geula begin with Banot, who understand how to build a bayit, who know how to risk their lives for the sake of a bayit, who appreciate between Bat Levi and Bat Paro, how to plant the seeds of Geula. And then the message is to teach it to the rest of Am Yisrael. Literally, upon the imminent salvation of Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim, Hashem says, okay, this week's Parsha, Parsha Bo, we're going to hear, we're just about ready. And Hashem says, that's it. Herbeti, ototai, moftai, ve'eretz Mitzrayim. But now, through Makat Bechorot, you're going to leave Mitzrayim. But wait a second. No, you can't survive. You, the Hebrews, Am Yisrael, you're not going to survive Makat Bechorot. You're not going to survive the killing of children unless you understand what a bayit is. The mothers, they got it already. They understand what the nature of a bayit is. See Shmo Perek Bet. They are the banot, over and over again, saving the children, fortifying the homes of Am Yisrael. But the rest of Am Yisrael, you can't leave. You cannot be saved from the death of children until you understand the nature of a bayit. And let's prove it. Hashem tells Moshe in Perek Yudbet, source number 18, you need to know the beginning of this month so that in 10 days from now, you're going to take se levet avot se labayit. You're going to bring the se into your home. And you're going to watch this se for 4 days. And you're going to make sure in yemat habayit miyot miseh v'lakachu shchenom hakarov el beitol benasat nefashot. You're going to count every single family member. No one is going to be left behind, so to speak. No one is going to be discounted. Calculate how much each person would eat. That's your bayit. And you're going to, at times, bring some cousins in to make sure ish l'piachlo tachosu avaseh. And then what will happen? Only if you understand the power of the bayit, which for Am Yisrael means the continuity of the physical and the spiritual values of Am Yisrael, of what it means to be born on the way down from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Well, you can't get back there until you rebuild the foundations of a bayit. And how are you going to do that? You're going to count your bayit. You're going to make sure everyone is in the bayit. And then you're going to take blood, and you're going to place it on the two mezuzot, the sides, and the mashkof, the threshold of the batim, asher yachlu oto bahen. And you will eat the seh without leaving your bayit. No stepping out of the bayit during Makat Bechorot. And the dam will be the oat al habatim asher atam sham. And God will come. And then, upasachti alechem. God will see the blood on your bayit. And God will know that you have understood the message of what builds on Yisrael. And God will hover over your bayit and protect you from Makat Bechorot. And in the future, you're also going to make sure no chametz in the bayit. Tashritu sa'or mi batechem. Shevat yamim sa'or lo yimatze bebatechem. The milah mancha, the repetitive word, on the eve of leaving Mitzrayim, the commandments are all about the bayit, and the bayit. You can't leave until all of you understood the message of Parakbet, until you understand that there is no gula, until you appreciate that your survival does not exist in the vacuum. But basically, even if you're a ben, you're really a bat, because you understand what it means to serve as a daughter, as a continuum of your past, and only then can you go back and ensure that it will be perpetuated for the future. Maybe that's why in Eshet Chayim, on one hand, Lemuel's mother tells him, Eshet Chayim Nimsa. You want to know who a great Isha is? Who a woman of valor is? I'll tell you the secret. There are so many different qualities. Batach ba le ba'ala v'shalom lo yachzar. Gamalatu tov lo rako yamechayaha. Darsha tzemro fishtim. Different attributes and character traits of alacrity. Of chesed. But you want to know what makes her really great? Rabot banot asuchayom. That's alita kulana. If she sees herself as a bat, then she's exceptional. Because only then, snula mi pri adena. Because she understands what it means, not just to start something, but what it means to continue something. She understands what it means to be given the talents, to be given the values, to be given a legacy of rich history, to be given the past of Eretz Yisrael. Take it to Mitzrayim and make sure that it's not forgotten, but that it survives and it flourishes and it develops into a bayit. These are the months and the weeks of Shovavim. These are the weeks wherein we're reminded of what it means to be a bat in Am Yisrael who built a bayit. These are the weeks, because of the winter months, where we hibernate anyway in our bayit. The months between Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beito, and the months that are meant to lead us into the Geula of Adar, and certainly the Geula of Nisan. As we find ourselves, literally, Adna Yom Kippur Katan, Erev Rosh Chodesh Bat, let us revisit the basis of a bayit. Let us re-identify ourselves, not only as women, but as banot, who understand the message of continuity, as we build and be'ezrat Hashem, merit the flourishing and salvation of the Batim in Am Yisrael.